back in order, the discussion before us, before Mr. Phelps continues, is how to properly notify for the continued updates on the safety element of the general plan. Question for council, would it be appropriate to put it on the agenda as its subsection of the general plan update, safety element, that Mr. Phelps or whatever staff is in charge at the time can give us updates of new additions, etc., and it would be formally noticed when it gets to the point for a vote action item to send before the supervisors.
I think that's fine and completely agree.
Okay. My second question, since this came up, this is a new business item that we have before us, but there's no action to be taken. So my question, what is the proper procedure after staff has finished their presentation and we've had the back and forth with the commission? What do we do? It doesn't get continued, but it's a new business item, which typically new business items have some action take place.
Well, in this case, there's simply no action. There's no action to take.
Okay. All right. With that, Mr. Phelps?
Sheriff Al, to follow up on your prior comments, I would, the logic or the reasoning behind having a public hearing notice is to allow the community, if it so chooses, to participate in this process, and that's one of the advantages of having that public hearing notice for each of these meetings up to August. We're only talking about three, but at least we can show on the record and that the community had an opportunity, it's been published, to participate, and the final product was, even though no one showed up, the final product was, they had an opportunity to weigh in, as opposed to getting to August and then setting another public. We'd have to do all those hearings again.
100% agree with you. So let me ask a different question to council. Place general plan subsection safety element under old business continued discussion from here until we get to August. Would that be more appropriate?
You can't, you know, in the Board of Supervisors, they don't even have this type of divided up agenda. It's just a list of items. They don't have new business, old business, items for discussion. I don't think it matters too much, especially as it's just a discussion item. I guess if we're going to put it under the items.
I get what Mr. Phelps is saying, that it...
I get it.
It's important to have that community involvement, and 100% agree. If we don't give that opportunity, we run a higher likelihood of in August having 200 people in the room all wanting to comment on this when it didn't know, quote unquote, that they could have input between now and then.
Yes.
I understand that. How do we the question is, how do we best handle that? Is it an old business continued discussion in which public is encouraged to participate, or is it in staff reports general plan update subset safety element?
Through the chair, so an option of what we could potentially do, I meet with our PIO Ali Kutzer regularly, so you know, instead of you know, pushing out like a public hearing notice, let's say every month for this item, we could work with her on pushing out at least some sort of update to the community that could get to some set of people at least. So word is out, put it on our website, things like that. Hey, we're constantly talking about this. Come, you know, come if you'd like. That could be another option, just so folks are aware we are discussing it, but we're not, you know, voting on anything, so we don't legally need to, you know, provide that notice every month.
So I'll leave it up to staff and council to work out those details then.
Okay.
But I completely hear what you're saying and agree.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Continue, please.
Thank you. To follow up on Commissioner Beal's comments about no service and how we deal with that, right now you know, in those areas of the county that the emergency alert system might not work, it's the responsibility for the local law enforcement. It's either sheriff or the city police, right? They got this loudspeakers, they're supposed to go through the roads and be like, hey, you need to evacuate. And so that's how, even though we might not have all the coverage that we need to use the alert system, we also have emergency personnel going door to door. So they're supposed to be, you know, knocking on people's door and saying, hey, you need to go. So we have fail safes and backups.
Thank you.
And then the last portion is chapter 8, which is basically the evacuation planning. We talked a little bit about...
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
I did notice, and I had this flagged, I was just double checking. On the chapter 7 emergency management, I noticed the Ag Commissioner office is not listed there, and they are part of the OES plan for doing not just, you mentioned in here shelters, but for evacuation of livestock, plus our partner with UC and Cal Fire for our evacuation of livestock, sheltering in place, etc. Sioux County Ag Department should be listed in Chapter 7.
Oh, that's a great input. We'll make sure they put in, yeah, no, that's great. We do talk about the livestock evacuations in the next chapter. But yeah, we'll put them as an agency in there as well for Chapter 7. But for Chapter 8, to follow up on Sheriff Fowle's comments regarding livestock, we do talk about the need to ensure that there's processes in place for people with animals, or either pets, right? We have a lot of people returning for their pets and posing a danger to first responders, or leaving your pets behind so that they bite the firefighters, that sort of thing. So we want to take into consideration during evacuation planning how to make sure people are able to take the animals with them, and also people with livestock as a commercial enterprise. We want to make sure there's policies and procedures in place to make sure people have a place to house their horses, that sort of thing.
So, and that's where we need to note the special permit that we have in place in Siskiyou County, and there are about 30 of us now, maybe 40, that have them specifically for that. And Grace is the one to talk to in regards to that.
What is Grace's last name?
Woodward.
Woodmancy?
It starts with a W.
Woodmancy?
Yeah.
Woodmancy.
I just know her as Gracie.
And that's with the Ag Commission?
Cooperative Extension. She is our point person that works directly with OES at times of disaster.
Okay. And then as part of state law requirements, we're supposed to identify evacuation routes for major population centers, and also we're supposed to identify areas of the county that only have one evacuation route. So we only selected like the major towns or areas that have enough population that it would be worth it. And so that starts at 65, right? We start with Callahan population 100. I don't know how accurate population 100 is, but that's what the data says. There's 100 people in Callahan. So each one of these pages will have a different area, right? We have Doris, we have Dunsmuir, and it's given the way the county is structured, most evacuation routes will be vehicle traffic, right? We don't have rail, that sort of thing. People aren't going to jump in the river and go down the stream. So most evacuations will be by car. One of the things that needs to still be completed is the identification of areas of the county that only have one evacuation route. And this is taking a little bit of time to do that. But we've started the process, and the process is just to go town by town or section of... basically, we zoom out on our map and see where in the county there are people living, and then we zoom in, and then we just look at all the roads and determine whether or not they only have one evacuation route, my apologies. And those, I'm skipping ahead, but those will be in the appendix. We'll get to that. But the last chapter is just the goals, policies, and actions. That's just basically, we've talked about the hazards, and here are the policies that we're suggesting to deal with those hazards, right? We talk about, and we do, and you want to do it very general, right? Because if you have a goal or a policy that's very specific, it ties the county's hands and it doesn't allow us to adapt to the situation. So our first goal is protection from fire danger, right? That's very broad, but it allows us to maneuver, you know, based on the situation, and things change over the years. So we want to have our goals to be very broad based. They're not used against us, but they allow us to improve the county. So we have a goal for each hazard type, and that can be seen in the last chapter. And then the appendixes are where most of the information, more specific information, like if you look at page 96, appendix A, basically we've listed out all the fires, all the named fires that have occurred over the last, I think, 20 years in Siskiyou County. We talk about the number of acres that have been burned. And then the first photo, first picture you see on page 96 is the distribution of past wildfires. If you look, right, the eastern part of the county, you know, just the Klamath National Forest, that's the home of majority of those fires. We do have some fires on the western portion of the county, right, over towards Butte. Those are generally what, grass-type fires. They're very different than the forest fires that we have on the east. But we've classified all the different fires. A lot of them are still under investigation, the cause, and some were clear. Sometimes they know it's caused by lightning, and so we included that information. And all this information was extracted from CAL FIRE's databases, state databases and stuff. Appendix B.
Appendix A, first note, Shelley Fire's not on here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shelley Fire, it occurred during the... Oh, no, it is.
No, on the map, the nice colors.
Oh yeah, that map is dated. It I don't have access to our GIS system, so
okay.
I can't manipulate the maps.
All right, I noticed it. So down in, let's see here, it is noted in the table.
Yes.
And I get that. I was just. I recognized it wasn't on the colorful map.
You're very observant.
There are two others that are missing on there that I noticed, but no big deal. The reason I'm asking, I'm not so concerned with the nice colors on a pretty map.
Mm-hmm.
If we are, as a county, assessing trend, in this case, wildfire, and potential risk for coming up with potential mitigations and conditions. Is there a reason we started so late in 2006? Is there a reason why we can't include from 1980? Because I believe Ray Halp would support me in this statement, at the risk of speaking for him. We will show a trend in Siskiyou County, specifically in the Klamath and Trinity, that occurrences of fire increased beginning in the 90s and early 2000s. And I would, if it is possible, to go back to 1980 or even 1970. So we have that in one location for future discussions with whatever the agency may be, we have that at our fingertips. Hey, here is the trend. I'm just throwing it out there, but I think it's something that may prove valuable to the county.
I think that's a good point, and it's been a while since I looked at this, but I think the reasoning where we cut it off at 2006 was that's the farthest it went back, the data went back for CAL FIRE on their online system.
On their online system.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, I'm sure there's hard file records, but this was done just using the publicly available, public-facing CAL FIRE system, their incident command system, I think it's called.
Well, and see,
if we had access to that data, we could definitely include it.
And I think the reason 2006 is your magic point is because through 2005, U.S. Forest Service was the primary incident command for wildfires. And so, it changed in fall or summer of 2005, and that's why 2006 CAL FIRE began.
Okay, so
I could be wrong by a year or two, but it used to be for the fire back in in 88, the big fire above Etna, that was Forest Service, even though it started on private land.
So that could be something we can look at. I could look at the
Forest Service may have.
Yes, data. I'll look at their databases. So Appendix B, these are just the different fire hazard severity zone mapping, the very controversial mapping. These were included just for people in the county. They can view their area of the county, or at least the major city centers. So those were included. However, it's my understanding the board is in the progress of trying to negotiate with the state fire marshal on modifying these fire hazard zones. They didn't include Tule Lake for some reason, even though it's part of the county. They didn't produce a map for Tule Lake. And so if we do end up being able to negotiate with the fire marshal, we might want to look at having Tule Lake included as well.
So my question on Appendix B, see, I'm being real good. I'm only bringing up my questions as you hit the point that I've reviewed. On the real pretty pink map on blue where it has the real bright red.
Which page? What page, sir?
We're on 102.
Okay.
I noticed that around the periphery of Scott Valley, you have real bright red, big one.
Dots.
Basically where City of Etna is, running down onto the island. Topographically, yeah, you've got Smith Hill and Hammond Hill included in that. How were these colors arrived at? I'm curious how that is a higher. I get where, you know, you've got the Kelms Lane, Patterson Creek area red, where you have a little more dense population in a forested area, that kind of makes sense to me. But then if you go north and east, you've got a real bright red from Morris Bryan Hanna Ranch down to Herleman's, which I'm scratching my head, there aren't many people and not much timber.
Yeah.
So I was wondering how those colors were arrived at.
I think in looking at the Scott Valley area, you see where all the grazing land, that sort of thing, that's low, right, because it's all irrigated land. The edges, right, on East Side Road that you mentioned, while there aren't, I can't speak for the fire marshal, but just having driven that area, I think that does have to do with while there's not a lot of timber, there is more timber there than in the center of Scott Valley.
No, I get that, but why is the east side not pink?
It is pink.
No, it's bright red. East Side Road, basically from Whipple Ranch.
Oh, I see. So if you look, the bright red means it's a local responsibility area. So.
I was looking at the right underneath. It says very high, and moderate for fire hazard severity zones.
Yes. So so that for the red, the orange, and the yellow, that is. It's a very high it's very high, but it's, the red signifies that it's local responsibility.
Okay, I was misinterpreting that. I get you now. Okay, because basically everything west of Highway 3 is local response.
Yes.
It's not state response. Okay,
yeah.
All right. I thought it was the level of risk of high fire, and I'm like, it didn't make sense to me. Okay, continue. You answered my question.
And so that was Appendix B, right? We talked about the different. And then Appendix C is just a requirement from CAL FIRE. They want the county to show the distribution of land uses compared to the CAL FIRE state responsibility area. So staff just just pulled a map that shows the different zoning for the areas of the county, right? We have TPZ, we have prime ag, non-prime, rural residential, heavy industrial, and open space. And that's, the two maps are one on top of the other, just so they can, we're just trying to make us meet a state law requirement for Appendix C. That's why it's just one page. And then Appendix D, we hold the FEMA flood maps for the different areas of the county. We selected the same areas of the county, right? If we did fire hazard severity zone mapping for Callahan, we also did flood mapping for Callahan. We chose.
And you're using the most recent survey that they completed here 4 or 5 years ago?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's been done within the last year, then we haven't.
It was 5 years ago, yeah. I think, when they came through. Okay.
So that's pretty self-explanatory. And then Appendix E really is just one of those, it's like an appendix, you know, human body. It's not needed, but we have it. Appendix E is basically just a description of the different institution and regulatory frameworks that deal with the different hazards, right? When I say institution, we're talking about what are the different agencies that oversee or are responsible or are involved for that hazard. So for fire, right, we talk about fire safe councils, CAL FIRE, we talk about the U.S. Geological Society survey, sorry. So don't want to spend too much time on Appendix E, we just have to have that. But, and then Appendix F is the same thing.
Before you go to F,
yes, sir.
Also missing in Appendix E under your hazardous materials is Siskiyou County Ag Department. They do all the permitting for herbicides and pesticides, and they should be listed.
Okay.
Now you can go to F.
No, this is really helpful because we don't have that perspective, and then you bring it in, it's good. And then Appendix F, again, this is just one of those requirements. We just did this in Agenda Item 2, which is incorporating the mitigation plan. So Appendix F is doing the same thing into this new version. Right? And then Appendix G is the only part of the safety element that's going to be changing over time, and I wrote it here where this list is going to be updated regularly. I'm sorry, I'm having problems, it's late. But contact planning for an updated list. But basically, I'm starting to go through the county, looking. Dunsmuir's done. I've gone through Dunsmuir and listed all the residential areas in Dunsmuir that have only one. You guys have an older version? You have the current version. That only have one evacuation route. So there's, and then we also add a GPS, right, latitude and longitude. So someone saying, looking at Dunsmuir, be like, hey, I live near Hilltop Drive and 4th Street. They can put those coordinates into the map, and they'll show you, and they'll show them on the map why that area of the town has only one evacuation route. And that's for us later on to figure out how we can make that area safer for people during an emergency. And that's the safety element.
Okay.
And obviously, I still have to go through Mount Shasta. I started Mount Shasta. We did the Lotus Lane and Shasta Acres Road intersection, which is really the road abandonment area. So I did that section, but we have to go through Scott Valley. I started doing Scott Valley. I started doing Aetna, but we'll have to go through the entire county, and it's a large county, but our goal is to go section by section and map out all those areas in the county that, that should have at least two emergency evacuation lists.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, your number 13 in Appendix G, that their second route of ingress egress got taken out by the 64 flood, which is when Pleasure Park was knocked out, which is why it's called Pleasure Park Road. So I was like, wait a minute, no, it was a second. And it's like, nope, as soon as I looked at it on the map, that got eliminated in 64.
Yeah,
also.
And that's why the coordinates are helpful, right?
Yep.
You copy those in and you're like, ah, oh, there, that's why. And then that's meant to be useful for the public, right? They can, you know, I live in it now. I'm curious to know what's going on in Sawyer's Bar Road. They can plug in those coordinates. And that concludes our presentation today, sirs.
A lot of work went into this. Well, you did a good job.
Thank you, Commissioner. It was like, you know, it was a fun project that the planning staff worked on, you know, so.
I'm glad you still think it's fun. That's important. Yeah. Any other questions, Commissioner Beal?
Nope.
Commissioner Mello?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Sunshine.
Dum, dum, dum. My turn. So, I do want included in here, and I'll give my findings to support my condition. I would like to see a new Chapter 6 and move the existing Chapter 6 to Chapter 7. The new Chapter 6 will be titled Wildlife, and it will encompass two. There may be more factors, but there are two primary factors. The first is on a health aspect. We have a growing herd of elk, multiple herds, which carry brucellosis. They are not vaccinated, and they are intermingling with cattle more frequently. Should there be an outbreak, we need to have a plan for that. Subset of that, we really don't have any large poultry operations here in Siskiyou County, but avian flu reached its finger into Siskiyou County briefly over in Tule Lake. We need to have a plan in place. I'm using these as two examples. There likely will be more, but on a wildlife, domestic livestock interaction, we need as a county to be prepared for that, and how we work with the state vet in doing potential lockdowns, etc. The second component of wildlife would be the predation, which we talked about earlier. I would not limit it just to the large canids. I would include bear, I would include mountain lion. How do we as a county deal with that and the economic, the safety, and the health aspects on our population?
Do elk and cattle graze together?
Oh yeah,
and
horses.
Rufles.
And I've got a mule that will chases them off, but they'll come right in and chase the cattle away from the chow line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a component I'd like to see added.
No, I think that's a good inclusion. Because the safety element is meant to be specific to the county, right? And our county faces different challenges than, say, Sacramento or Yuba, you know.
And I would add in there the deer with chronic wasting disease. There's something similar with the antelope, which would impact Butte Valley, but our sheep and goat producers, we have that risk that we have to deal with now. No, it's not directly linked, but if you have one die and it's in the soil, secondary cause can lead to an infection in a flock.
So we're talking like cross-species contamination type.
Correct.
Okay.
But not necessarily species to species. There's often a second or a third means of transportation on the location. So things we need to be aware of.
Okay. Just from my own knowledge, sir, if one of your cattle gets this, can it be cured?
No. Not brucellosis. You put them down and then you have the big challenge, what do you do with the carcass? Because you've got to get it off the place, but no one transports. We have no more rendering facilities. You can't bury it. You can't compost it. You have to send it to Fresno to be burned or to Portland to be burned.
I think now you can send it to Fort Jones, right? Are we having...
State of California
a facility, but
for potentially infectious diseases,
yeah.
No,
you cannot. And that's why with the poultry farms that were getting hit with avian influenza, they were bringing in the CO2 containers, the ship containers, and they basically put the flocks in the containers, close the doors, use CO2 to put them out and kill them. And then they got pulled out of there, and they had portable incinerators that were going from poultry farm to poultry farm, incinerating the bodies. So, something we need to have on our radar.
Yeah.
So it might be to get funding for, like, to have a facility like that in the county to dispose of those type of things.
And it killed two birds with one stone, pardon the pun. Our dead bodies from our ranchers that were supposed to, as a mitigation factor for wolf, we're supposed to get rid of the dead bodies. It gives us an opportunity not only for wolf management, but for potential disease outbreak management.
Yeah, we'll get that chapter in there by the next meeting date.
And with that, I'm good. Thank you for the diligent work, and I look forward to upcoming updates.
Thank you, sir.
Through the chair, we do have this all as a public hearing, so.
That's why I asked Counselor. Yeah.
I will go
through the process.
Yeah.
So at this time, we'll open the public hearing. Any proponents? Any opponents? Anyone neutral? Hearing and seeing none, public hearing is closed. Commissioners, I believe the direction is that we continue this item on future agendas as it is amended, and staff will bring back updates monthly to us. Commissioner, good with that?
Good.
So no action will be taken on this item.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, go back to my agenda. We are, staff update regarding the general plan update.
Yes, Haley Link, Planning Director. So outside of our, you know, comprehensive discussion we had regarding the safety element, we will be bringing forward a zoning diagnostics report that the consultant team created at the June meeting. And so it's just a really brief report that outlines what we're essentially out of compliance with, things that like we are required to have in our zoning code. And we'll just talk, you know, we'll talk about those items. We're also gonna have that the opportunity for the public to weigh in potentially on any zoning code updates they would like to see. Offline, the consultant team right now is working on reformatting of our Title 10, which is our planning and zoning code. And so wanting to kind of get ahead of that as they're doing the more, you know, reformatting structure of everything before we have more lengthy comprehensive discussions about zoning code specifics, we thought it'd be a good idea just to have it be an opportunity for the public to potentially weigh in before we get too far down the line with other public hearings we'll be bringing forward with the draft. And so that's how we're going to format that. I'll be meeting with Ali Kutzer tomorrow regarding, you know, her help pushing out general plan items. This is going to be one of them. And
question on your statement regarding the zoning code compliance with the state.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be going into detail. I get that in June. Could you give me an example of where we are out of compliance with the quote-unquote state as it refers, or as it applies to zoning?
Sure. So a bit an example, which is a big example for us, is housing element zoning code updates, you know, related to transitional housing, by right uses for group care facilities, things like that. These are really...
it's more actions allowed on a specific
yes,
zone,
like,
as opposed to we're offering this zone.
Correct.
Okay.
For example, in our like Res 1, 2, 3, 4 districts, we are supposed to allow by right group care facilities over 6 people. So it's, you know, that's an example. I know there's some updates with telecom, you know, wireless facilities, some language there that we're required to update. ADUs, right? We don't have a localized ADU ordinance. Currently, we fall back on the state regulation. We're supposed to have a localized, you know, language regarding that. And I think there was also a...
Let me ask you this question, Haley.
Sure.
So you mentioned in the Res 1 through 4,
mm-hmm.
a by right for care facility.
Mm-hmm.
If that is allowed by right, then compatibility is no longer...
I don't know. This should wait until...
Wait till June?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll wait. You've got my brain juices flowing.
Sure,
I'll formalize
yeah.
them while I'm weed eating and on the tractor this next month.
Sure.
Okay. Continue. I'm sorry.
No worries. And only other update is the consultant team. They are working on drafting of the land use elements, general plan elements, including land use, conservation, open space, and noise. Currently, they're vetting it through their own internal review process, and so staff will probably have a draft form of those within the next month or so. So that's also underway as well.
Okay. Questions of Ms. Lang?
No, sir.
Okay. Future meeting, next one scheduled for June 18th. Any correspondence we don't have before us that needs to be noted? Okay.
Yep.
Staff comments? Mr. Dean?
Yes, sir. I would just like to thank staff for the expedited work on this safety element. I know there's been some weekends and late nights involved with this. And great shout out to them to basically accommodate the hazard plan here. So thank you very much.
So we're working at it.
Yeah.
Commission comments. This time I'm going to start with Mr. Mello.
All I want to do is say thank you, just like our director did. I appreciate you guys.
Commissioner Deal?
No.
I will echo Mr. Dean and Mr. Mello. Thank you. Good product.
When's the fair?
August. We're adjourned.